Grace to you in Jesus. Would you like to see Jesus? Sound like a good idea? Why would you like to see Jesus? The answer to that question is actually rather important, because with the right answer to why would you like to see Jesus, you can bring a beautiful smile to your Savior's lips. For example, just a couple of days before the event of the text that I'm going to read to you in just a minute, just shortly before this text, some Greeks came to Jesus. Actually, some Greeks went to a couple of the disciples that happen to have Greek names, Philip and Andrew. And the Greeks said to Jesus' disciples with the Greek names, "We'd like to see Jesus." I'm not exactly sure what Philip and Andrew thought would be Jesus' reaction. They might have been a little bit tense about this, because it was Passion Week after all. But they went to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, some Greeks want to see you." And you know what Jesus said? He said, "This is the hour. This is finally the hour that I will give glory to God, that God will bring glory to me. This is the hour that I've been waiting for, well, that I will be lifted up from the earth and draw all mankind from every tribe, every nation, every language, every people will be drawn to me." He was pretty excited about the Greeks coming to see him. Let's see how Jesus responds when Herod wants to see him. This is from Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, beginning with verse 6. On hearing this, hearing that Herod was from Galilee, was in Jerusalem, on hearing this, Pilate asked if the man, that is Jesus, was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time for the Passover feast. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. Herod plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing Jesus. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Tonight's story is really a story of three kings. Well, first, there's Pilate, not exactly a king, but he had a lot of power, like a king, put into power by the Roman government. His job was to collect taxes and keep law and order. He had the authority of law in Jerusalem and its environs. That's why the high priests and the scribes and the teachers of the law, that's why they took Jesus to Pilate. The Jews didn't have any power to punish. They didn't have authority to kill. They took him to Pilate, who had that power and authority. Now, after Pilate's short interview, he quickly determined that Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. So he should have used his power to set him free. He was disinclined to do that because he knew the Jews would create a big ruckus, cause a lot of problems. That was a problem for Pilate. So what he thought he'd rather do, when he heard that Herod Antipas was in town, Herod was the king of Galilee up in the north where Jesus grew up. He thought he'd just kind of like get rid of the Jesus problem and say, "Herod, this Jesus, he's your citizen, you deal with him." Herod was delighted. For a long time, Herod had been wanting to see Jesus. So Jesus was brought into his royal presence, and the seeing began. "What you got, Jesus? Here's a glass of water. Turn it into wine. See that guy over there? Make him leprous, Jesus, and then heal him again. Show me your best sign, Jesus. What you got, Jesus? Impress me, Jesus. Pardon my language. Dance for me, Jesus. See a big smile up on Jesus' face this time? Jesus just stands silent. Not going to juggle for you, Herod. Not going to play your game. Herod had jurisdiction. Herod had the authority. He had the power to set this innocent man free. It's not what he did. Did you catch what Herod used his power to do? He used his power, his soldiers, his might to ridicule, mock, treat disrespectfully Jesus. He was humiliated. Jesus humiliated. Jesus just stood there and let him ply him with questions. He refused to play that game. In response, Herod had him treated most disrespectfully by his soldiers, who wrapped an elegant gown around him and sent him off, O royal king, with no power, no glory, sent him back to Pilate. Pilate, you finish dealing with this Jesus. With your Jesus. Your king, Jesus. Actually, he doesn't look real royal right now, does he? Doesn't look real powerful in this moment with blood already seeping from his various abused parts of his body, dressed in, mockingly dressed in fancy garments. Doesn't look real royal. Doesn't look powerful. Not real glorious. But if there's one thing he had, it was power. But what he had done with his power is just for a moment, set it aside. Because Jesus had come to deal with his enemies. Now, not Herod, not Pilate. Those were not his enemies. Not even the Jews. Jesus' enemy, our enemy, was Satan. And so Jesus used his very glorious and special power to deal with his enemy, Satan. Now, here's how he did it. See, Satan's power, you know Satan's power, I know Satan's power. We've been overpowered way too many times by Satan, who says, walk down this path, you know the path, to compromise, bad decisions, shame. Our mothers taught us better than to walk down that path. We know better than to walk that path, but we still find ourselves walking down that path. You want to know what kind of enemy Satan is? Satan says, come on with me down this path to shame and death. And we walk it with him, and then he turns around and he says, what kind of Christian are you? And he just wants to pile shame and defeat and failure upon us, and Jesus needed his power to deal with an enemy like that. And what Jesus used his power to do was to not fall to Satan's trials, to Satan's temptation. Jesus used his power to remain absolutely perfect and holy and righteous before his God, would not fall to Satan. And then he used his power, his perfection, his holiness, to allow sinful men to lift him up on that cross. And on that cross, suffer hell for all people. So we don't have to make that trip. To shed his blood, he let men drive nails into his hands and feet so that that powerful blood could forever wash away every sin. So we have a king. Our king, Jesus, used all of his power, all of his power to defeat our enemy, the accuser, Satan. But then he showed his true power by having died, did not stay dead. He didn't remain in that grave, but he rose again. and our risen, powerful king then showed his generosity. Our king comes to us and he says, I've paid your price. I've covered your sins. I forgive you your sins. And having given us the forgiveness, he gives us his perfection. He gives us his sonship. He gives us status before God. He gives us his priesthood. He gives us his royal rule. He gives us every good and perfect gift he's got. He gives to us. Our king used his power, used his glory to rescue us. Do you want to see Jesus? Hold off on that question. Does Jesus want to see you? Yeah. Jesus wants to see you forever. Why does Jesus want to see you? He just loves you. He just wants to be with you. He wants to gather you into his presence, bring you into his arms, and just be your Lord, your shepherd, your God, your glory, your king. He just wants to be with you forever because he loves you. See, now we're ready to answer the question we started tonight with. Do you want to see Jesus? Yeah, we want to see Jesus. Why? This is interesting. Because we love him. And we just want to be with him forever. Now, Jesus is with us, but we can't see him. But imagine real hard. Do you see him smiling at you?